This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Tyler Donaldson in studio. Of course, markets already closed today. We had a regular start this morning at 8:30, but shut down at 12:05 today with the holiday and all this week. In farm news, USDA reporting two major soybean sales, one announcement for 840,000 metric tons, the other for 152,000, both going to unknown destinations.
USDA's weekly export sales report was pushed back a day due to the Thanksgiving Day holiday. U.S. corn exports for the week ending November 21st totaled just over 1 million tons for the 2024-25 marketing year and 67,000 tons for the new marketing year. Those sales were within trade expectations. Soybean exports totaled 2.5 million metric tons for the current marketing year and 18,000 metric tons for next year. Soybean sales were on the high end of trade expectations. U.S. wheat exports came in as expected at 367,000 metric tons.
Bolt Marketing market analyst Duane Bossi says the strong export sales have been a big driver in the grains today.
Corn doesn't look bad at all, bouncing off of some technical support, staying in that upward trend channel we've been talking about here. That's good. We had weekly export sales delayed till this morning, and we had fabulous sales almost all the way throughout. Corn over 1 million, soybeans 2.5 million. Soybeans are now finally actually caught up to the normal USDA average pace for their export expectation, which is pretty impressive considering the slow start. Then we had daily sales announcements, USDA flashes, 840,000 soybeans to unknown, 151 to unknown. So great export demand, but actually turned the soybean market negative here early on here in the day session.
Soybeans rebounded following that negative start, despite the strong numbers from this morning's export report. Total Farm Marketing market analyst Amanda Brill says soybean meal was to blame.
More strength in corn, weakness in the soybeans and wheat. Kind of interesting because this morning's export sales report was very positive for soybeans. That number came in over the highest trade estimate. So it's interesting that soybeans are lower. It looks like they're getting pulled down by bean meal, despite bean oil being higher. And then in corn, also strong export sales, but more towards the middle of that range of estimate. And then wheat is struggling to move higher after the report earlier this week that showed the good to excellent ratings for the winter wheat closer to 55% as it goes into dormancy.
The Brazilian consulting firm AgriConsult is forecasting a record soybean crop in Brazil. Production projected to top 172 million metric tons. If realized, that would surpass the previous record of 162 million tons back in the 2022-2023 marketing year. Meanwhile, CONAB is calling for soybean production of 166.1 million tons.
Russia hit Ukraine with a significant aerial attack, launching nearly 200 missiles and drones on the energy infrastructure. The uptick in tensions in the Russia-Ukraine war has the world on edge. That has given the wheat market some underlying support in the holiday-shortened trade.
U.S. beef exports totaled less than 5,000 metric tons in this latest reporting week. That's down 66% from the previous week, and it is a marketing year low. China, Mexico, and Japan were the primary buyers.
For the latest reporting week, market hogs averaged 288.5 pounds. That's down just over a pound the same week a year ago. Domestic pork demand is good, but exports could see improvement.
North Dakota Agricultural Association Executive Director Stu Letcher says all eyes will be on the EPA's Endangered Species Act and the pesticide restriction list heading into the 2025.
I think probably one of the most important things we're looking at is that EPA, the strategy for the pesticide and endangered species, that could have a wide ripple effect across the entire industry, not just ag retail, but also at the producer level. You know, we've heard a lot about different chemistries being taken away, and the list that they're putting together could be a pretty big deal. So that's one we're watching.
The Association has their expo coming up Monday and Tuesday. North Dakota's legislative session also draws some attention.
And then, you know, there's the legislative session upcoming in North Dakota. So, you know, I haven't heard of anything yet, but we're always on the lookout for potential issues with legislature.
Going into 2025, the priority list for the National Farmers Union will not change. NFU President Rob LaRue said his members are prepared to take that message to D.C.
It's all about the farm safety net, first of all. We know that economic conditions are really tightening, and that's part of the reason why we want to see a farm bill finished before the end of this year. But even as we roll into next year, those needs aren't going to go away. So whether it's trying to tackle farm safety net related issues in this next administration, whether it is also trying to continue some of the work that has already been started on fair and competitive markets. A number of these issues, even if the last administration worked on them, they have strong bipartisan support across the countryside and certainly in the halls of Congress. And so we're going to be delivering that message to the Trump administration.
South Dakota Senator John Thune will be the majority leader in the new Congress. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar will be the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. And North Dakota Senator John Hoven will lead the Ag Appropriations Committee. American Soybean Association President Josh Gackel says these changes are good for our area.
As farmers, and I think as you know, as folks living in farm country, whether you're on a farm or not, having those folks who they've had some influence, they've been there for a while, they know the issues very well. They're strong supporters of a farm bill and other types of farm programs that we're going to rely on. And they get along well. I mean, I've seen them working together before, whether it's Thune, Klobuchar, Hoven, you know, both parties, different states, but a lot of regional similarities and the concerns that we have in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. They've found ways to work together on that, and I think it's going to be a good group of people coming in here.
Gackel Farms at Cullom, North Dakota.
Cavendish Farms plans to break ground on a major expansion of its Jamestown, North Dakota potato processing plant in 2025. The $150 million project will increase capacity from 410 million pounds per year to 450 million pounds. Cavendish Farms is a Canadian company, and the Jamestown plant is its only U.S. location.
Members of the World Trade Organization have elected Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala to a second term as its director general. Her second four-year term will begin in September of next year. She is the first African and first woman to lead the WTO.
World Trade Organization Agriculture Committee got an update on global food insecurity concerns at this week's meeting in Geneva, Switzerland. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Program is predicting a rise in serious food insecurity over the next 6 months in 22 countries and territories. The FAO called for more market transparency and improvements in trade and marketing infrastructure.
President Joe Biden is asking President-elect Donald Trump to rethink his threat of additional tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Biden said these two neighboring countries are our closest allies, and additional tariffs would be counterproductive. Trump is calling for a 25% tariff on all products coming into the U.S. from Canada and Mexico.
A federal judge has blocked enforcement of a rule amending the H-2A visa program. The International Fresh Produce Association was joined by the American Farm Bureau Federation, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and a handful of state farm bureau and produce groups. This statute allowed temporary farm workers to bargain collectively. The Fresh Produce Group said this ruling is a victory for farmers because it prevents regulatory overreach that would increase costs and create inefficiencies.
2024 was a good year for American lamb producers. American Lamb Board Chairman Jeff Ebert says they saw a steady increase in demand.
We're just seeing an increase in the consumption of American lamb basically from our great staff and our bloggers and media influencers, the social media presence. I mean, we've got a limited budget, so, you know, we've got to be selective on how we spend our dollars. But, you know, we're seeing increased consumption of American lamb.
Applications are still open for the organization's Smart Climate Grant.
We were fortunate to receive a multi-million dollar grant from USDA. We're calling it the Smart Climate Grant. And basically, you know, we're starting out selecting 150 producers. Those applications are actually due December 15th. And basically what we're doing is assessing carbon emissions and gas house emissions as well. And going from that, those producers will have to provide a lot of data. So we want that to kind of build a program, a system for other producers to be able to do that, because obviously sustainability, the carbon sequestration are very popular topics currently.
Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association's annual meeting will be next week in Fargo. Executive Director Harrison Weber is expecting a great turnout for the event.
We suspect a large crowd, both growers and just kind of general public and invitees. And a lot of topics. Obviously, you know, Farm Bill is going to be on our mind. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking, review on the year and where we sit, where we finished up on everything and how factory performance is going for this year's processing campaign. And so, no, it's just a great opportunity. We're looking forward to seeing everybody, and it's going to be a great day for us.
South Dakota FFA will be hosting 600 students from across the state for a series of leadership development events. South Dakota FFA Foundation Executive Director Jerry Idy says these events will help prepare students for the upcoming workforce.
They're relevant in whatever career field they go into, you know, understand marketing plan, knowing how to make a sale in the ag sales event, knowing how to run a meeting if they're in the city council or school board members or state legislature down the road. Those things are all relevant to running in any business meeting. It's just relevant skills that they can use in any field that they go into, and developing those. And we're hoping, of course, that they go into a field of agriculture and make an impact in our industry, leading the industry forward. And it's a learning event, which is what FFA is all about.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Michael Johnson. Michael, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
For this week's cover, I traveled to Henning in west central Minnesota to visit with Stephen and Brittany Springer about their farm-to-table restaurant they started in summer of 2023. It's called The Farm Stand, and it's aptly named because the couple have been farming together since about 2008. They currently raise grass-fed beef, hogs, and chickens, along with produce on their farm. The food they raised was being sold at farmers markets, but they transitioned first to serving food out of a food truck following COVID. And then they moved into their restaurant, where they continue to serve food that's mostly raised either on their farm or from other local farms in the area. It's become a hit with folks that like to know where their food comes from. This story is part of our Thankful for Ag series, where we highlight those in the farming community who are thankful for agriculture. The Springers have a unique story because they've been met with tragic situations on their farm, including fires and a farm accident. But the couple continues to appreciate the life that agriculture provides for them and their seven kids, who happen to be a growing part of the team that help either with the livestock on the farm or serving hungry guests at their restaurant. Some of the businesses that are supported by the Farm Stand include a coffee roaster, kombucha brewer, a dairy farm, even a family that catches salmon that winds up on the Farm Stand menu.
Sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Thanks, Randy. Markets are closed. They had an early close today, wrapped up shortly after noon. Checking some of those numbers. Minneapolis wheat, the DEIS contract, 8 cents higher, while the March contract only a half cent higher for Minneapolis wheat. Chicago wheat a penny higher, hard red winter wheat, KC wheat down 2 cents. New crop corn 7.5 higher, 423.25. The soybeans new crop a 2 cent gain at 990.75. Live cattle futures got a mixed go there. February down by 2 cents, while April 17 higher. The feeder cattle market a 42 cent gain for January. Lean hogs down by 40 cents. Right now, we've got the Dow, we've wrapped up at 188.59 to the downside. We're at 44,910. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.